Where else could you go to get good advice for holiday menus and entertainment advice than Sauce Magazine? And that's what we're doing today. Sauce's Guide to the Holidays edition is out, and I recently sat down with Heather Hughes, managing editor of Sauce Magazine. Meera Nagarajan is the magazine's art director, and also joining us is Marianne Moore, creative director at Dierberg School of Cooking. Heather told us to start with a plan.
For Thanksgiving or any big entertaining meal, you can't do everything. You can't go over the top with every single dish. So first of all, decide what you want to really focus on and go over the top with. Decide what you're going to outsource, which we would recommend. You got to do at least some things that are ready-made, like a charcuterie board or dessert or something. And then see what you can get finished ahead of time. So there are a lot of recipes in our holiday guide this year that you can get almost done before the day of. So you're just sort of popping things in the oven at the last minute before people start showing up.
Meera, how about you? What tips do you have for folks getting ready?
Well, I think delegating is a great thing. I was just talking to my husband about planning Thanksgiving, and you know, he was like, I want you to make a lot of stuff because you're a good cook, and I don't really want you to potluck it because I don't like so-and-so's mashed potatoes. Or I don't, you know, so it's like, okay, if so-and-so wants to bring their mashed potatoes and tells you so on the phone, just say, you know what, we got mashed potatoes covered because I'm doing them in the crock pot, but please bring one of your fabulous apple pies. So I think like curating and delegating is a good tip for getting ready because I won't be doing everything by myself.
There's a lot to do, needless to say. Marianne, your tips for the big day?
The tips for the big day, I think I would tend to agree with Heather and Meera both. Actually, the biggest thing is to have a plan. You need to have a plan, but a realistic plan. Everything looks amazing on paper. And even for a chef, we look at everything and want to do everything. So I think having that realistic plan, but also knowing what your limitations are and not driving yourself crazy and taking on too much. So that's where the delegation comes in.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be caught coming up short on the big day itself, do you, Heather? I mean, you want to have everything in order, large and small things. You mean you have some ideas, as I understand it, for just basic things to have ready when people start showing up.
Yeah, I think when you're entertaining, it's details that really matter. And these are things that don't have to take that much energy. If you pick up a few different cheeses when you're at the store and have them ready when guests walk in, it feels like this big presentation when it takes zero effort. So if you have things ready when people show up, it makes a big difference.
What about alcoholic content here? I don't know why I asked you that
turns
question.
To you.
Well, I went to a party once where when I first walked in the door, there was a tray of sparkling wine already poured in glasses. Not a huge pour, but like a short pour. And we were all, as we walked in, free to pick up a glass. And it was just a really nice touch, as opposed to having like something in an ice bucket chilled with a bunch of empty glasses where you have to kind of like do it, you know, on your own. It's just nice having something that's already there ready for you. It's very inviting and it kind of sets the tone for the whole party. And Marianne actually had a really good point about setting the table ahead of time that I thought was so great.
That's a must for me because I get so food focused that I get into the kitchen and then all of a sudden, of course, I take on too much and time is starting to run out and I never get to set my table properly. So I always start from square one and I plan my tablescape. I set the table with everything I can, just drop the flowers at the last minute. And then I'm free to focus on that food and I have this fabulously set table instead of it being an afterthought.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with having snacks out or drinks when people already show up, you can sort of get that out of the way ahead of time. And if you're frantic and feeling crazy in the kitchen, you can still be doing that and no one will really notice because they have something to do. They have a place to gather that's not in your face.
Meera, do you have any advice? Heather mentioned outsourcing early on, going out of your own kitchen to provide some of the things for the dinner. Do you have any ideas of good places to go and how to do that?
Yeah, we went to Cello at the Four Seasons a couple of days ago and tried their Thanksgiving to go, which was fabulous. I mean, you can, it's a dinner that serves 10 people, and you place your order, you get turkey, stuffing, a ton of stuff, chestnuts and mushrooms, cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes, gravy, and it feeds 10 people, and it was all really great. And it's one of those nice kind of things where you just, I want to host because I want to see my friends and my family, but I don't want to be worried and spend a ton of money and maybe not have it turn out as great as it could be. And so you just kind of outsource it all together. I know Rick Lewis from Grace Meat and Three is similarly doing something like that where it's a Thanksgiving to go, and he's doing a sweet tea brined smoked turkey for $55, which is an amazing deal. And they have a ton of sides that you can get on, you know, along with it. If you just want the turkey, you can just get the turkey. If you just want pie, you could do that too. And that's really, you know, a great option. Muddled Pig in Maplewood is also offering a similar Thanksgiving to go.
You know, we put a lot of emphasis, for good reason, on the host and hostess at Thanksgiving time. What about the guests? I mean, I think there's a certain responsibility that guests have, too, to participate in all of this.
Yeah, I think most people are guests on Thanksgiving. They're usually big groups of people. It's only one person's house. I think the main thing, or things that I have seen that bother me, are if you're bringing food to someone else's house, don't assume you get any oven space. Thanksgiving is, you're cooking so many things, they're not counting on you as well.
The oven is precious real estate.
It really is. And then I would also say, if you're bringing a dish, bring everything you need to serve the dish. I once hosted a really big baby shower for a friend, and I had one of my friends show up with a big pot of soup. And the soup was amazing, but I didn't know he was coming, and I had like three bowls for a big house full of people. So you either communicate very well about what the expectations are, or just bring everything that you need with what you're bringing.
All right. Mira, do you have some ideas?
Well, you know, I think if you're going to come, it's always nice to bring a hostess gift. And I thought it was really sweet. Like if you, you know, you see people bring in stuff that it's like breakfast for the host for tomorrow because they spent all this time cooking and they probably don't want to worry about that chore for the next few days. So I actually love Pint Size Bakery. They have these really great muffins. So I think a cute hostess gift is bringing like their sweet muffins and their savory muffins. They have these BLT muffins that are really good. And it's just you put it in a cute little basket and give it to them. And, you know, you say, don't worry about breakfast tomorrow. Like, thank you for hosting us. This is so generous. And it's just a nice way to thank someone for giving their time up like that.
And Marianne, a good thing not to do is talk politics, I think.
Did you talk to somebody before this? Absolutely not. I think that it's, you know, gatherings are to catch up with friends and keep things light. So, you know, I think you get those opinionated guests. And then, of course, there's alcohol involved. So, you know, you don't want to drink a ton of, I mean, you don't want to drink a ton of booze either and booze it up at a friend's house and then they have to call an Uber for you to get home. I mean, that's kind of a big no-no too.
Well, speaking of booze, though, we did our holiday guide photo shoot at Deerberg's at DePere, the cooking school. Yeah. And we had a really great time. And the opening photo for the feature is Manhattans from Planter's House. And they have these bottles of bottled Manhattans that you can buy to go. And I thought that was that's such a great way to start your party because it's boozy and sweet, but it's a limited quantity. You're not expected to like go back in the kitchen and shake up more cocktails. It's just like a nice treat for the people who arrive first. So I definitely think that's a good to-go option.
And that's why I like setting up a bar that way, mm-hmm. is because you have that one signature cocktail and you don't have, to speak to your point, Heather, you don't have this bar that people are fumbling to mix their own drinks. Mm-hmm. You have a drink that's there and people don't tend to come and then pour heavy and all of that. And you have this great local product that you welcome everyone with. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm. What do you do about the dishes? Should guests help with the dishes? I mean, the poor hostess, everybody leaves and they're just overwhelmed by pots and pans and plates.
Well, in my family, my aunt always pays the person $20 who gets up first and starts with the dishes. So I think starting a tradition is nice, but generally it probably depends on how well you know your host. If it's family, just get up, help out. Nobody wants to wake up in the morning to a filthy table and a mess in the kitchen. But if you don't know them as well, maybe that's not quite the time.
How about paper plates?
No. I mean, for some people, it's against the rules, but I think it depends. Like, some people do Friendsgiving where they're just like hanging out with their like pals and it's not like more formal family affair. So it's meant to be a little bit more laid back and casual. So, I mean, if you must, you must. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I know people disagree. I'm looking at Marianne.
Marianne, you shot me a look that could kill, turn me to stone when I broke
that
up.
I did. That's just a stab in my heart. That's why we go back to the setting the table in advance. Now, I just, you know what? Rules have changed so much, too.
Yeah.
It used to be that everyone brought out the big china and the full place settings and all of that. And I think that, you know, the entertaining has to be easy for the host too. This pressure is insane. And so if it makes you feel better to use paper plates, use paper plates. If it makes you feel better to order the turkey from Ricky Lewis, I'm going to do that. You just have to do what makes it easy for you to entertain. So yeah, I joke, but truly it's got to be easy because then you can have fun.
Yeah, if it's a party, everyone should be enjoying themselves.
And something you should look forward to, not mm-hmm. dread, because there's so much work involved and it's so tiring for the people involved. We have some questions from the cooking school students, don't we?
We do.
One of the questions that I see is, how do you get everything done?
We started with, it's important to have a plan, and I think that's how you get everything done. Have a plan, decide what you're going to outsource. And I think the holiday guide this month, in our issue, we did an easy breezy holiday. That was the headline, and I think that means some of the recipes are really quick and easy, but it also means some of them you can make ahead to get them out of the way. We have tips to fill in the gaps with things like the Planner's House bottled cocktails. Like, you just need to sort of start early and figure out what you're going to do. And it doesn't have to be so painful.
The crock pot mashed potatoes. Can we just talk about that for a moment?
Haven't we already done that?
No. We talked about it, but we didn't really explain it. I think you should just tell us. Like, that and your hot, fast turkey.
Well, and that's all part of it, too. The crockpot mashed potatoes. When you talk about kitchen choreography is a big thing. And I think that's one of the big questions that we get in the cooking school is, how do you get everything done at a specific time? So think about it. And the crockpot mashed potatoes, you can start those early in the morning. I have a little secret, and I think I did give that secret away. I cook them in a mixture of water and heavy cream, and then the potatoes just fall apart. So there is nothing that you have to do to those potatoes except mash them when they're just about ready, and then they stay warm until you're ready to serve them. And then the hot fast turkey is genius. And I have to thank in part Lou Rook for that one, too. We did a class together and we had to get this turkey done. And he's like, all right, this is how we're going to do it. And we did. And we cooked a 20-pound turkey in about 2 hours or so.
But you mentioned 2 hours. Timing is everything.
How do you
ensure that everything is ready at the same time?
Read your recipes. Always read your recipes first. Look at what needs to be done. And then if something gets done a little ahead of time, say you've got a casserole or something, and you don't want to use your oven space, I use my barbecue grill and I throw my potato casserole or my green bean casserole in my barbecue grill set on low to stay warm. So it's really, I work ahead. So I start about 2 days ahead and I identify those things that I can make ahead and they can go right in the oven or the barbecue grill just to warm up.
You've got to recognize also that you only have one oven, so mm-hmm. that requires organizational skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does. Make a plan. I write everything out. Check it off.
But I thought the turkey thing was so great yep. because in my head, I just remember people, like when I would go to my friend's house for Thanksgiving, their mom had gotten up at 7 in the morning mm-hmm. to put the turkey yeah. in the oven. I'm like, this is a huge ordeal. But then if you can cook a turkey in, you know, under 2 hours, I think that's like, it's a miracle. I love it.
And what takes up most oven space? Let's add, I mean, the turkey. So if you can do the hot, fast turkey early, get it done, and then pop it outside in your barbecue grill to keep warm with a little bit of broth in it, covered up, then that leaves that oven space to warm everything else up.
One final question. Stuffing in the bird or separate? There, Marianne, you're giving me that look.
Here
again.
I am again. No. You can do it any way you like. Not here to judge or not here to say anything. But really, for food safety, I prefer the stuffing outside of the bird. Mm-hmm. I think it's a much safer approach to it. And it will lessen your cooking time of your turkey as well. Because when you stuff the turkey, all of that dressing has to cook inside to 165 degrees or so, and it's going to take a lot longer.
And you always end up drying out the turkey. At yes. least that's been my experience. Whenever we try to do stuffing, it's a mess.
We have to wrap this up, but let me get a quick final thought from each of you about the thing that you think is most important for people to know for Thanksgiving. Heather?
Oh, gosh. We've said it a million times. I think it's having a plan. But besides that, I think if you're having people over, it's easy to feel frantic and rushed and crazy when you have so many things to do. But having things ready ahead of time, having small details, like always having a pitcher of water out, it seems like such a small thing, but it's so important. It makes people feel like they're being treated, you know, they're being served at your home, which I think is so nice. Having your coffee service set up before dinner so that when it comes time for dessert, you're not asking if people want something and yet they feel guilty for being one of the ones making you get up again. They can just have surprise coffee ready to go, and it feels like such a treat. Making guests feel at home because you prepared for them to be there.
And plan. Obviously, planning yeah. is critical. Mira, how about you? A final thought, final bit of advice?
I think open the good wine first. I think, you know, there's so many great wine shops like Parker's Table and even Reed's American Table. They have great wine selections, wine and cheese place. It's a great time to, like, go to a nice wine shop, pick out a couple of bottles that are a little bit, you know, kind of different or special, and open those first when your palate is fresh and you can really appreciate it, and then transition to table wine later because everyone will enjoy it. Everybody will be in a good mood. So start with the good wine first. That's how I feel.
Let the red wine breathe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, okay.
Let it breathe.
Marianne?
I think for me it's give yourself a break. Don't put so much pressure on yourself mm-hmm. because, you know, you plan, you cook, and days like that have a way of taking on a life of their own. So don't be so busy and so focused on perfection. Mm-hmm. Focus on being with your family and your friends and just sharing food. That's really what it's all about, to entertain.
Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, Don.
Sauce Magazine's Heather Hughes and Mira Nagarajan and Marianne Moore of Dierberg School of Cooking with holiday cooking and entertainment tips. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.